Last week, we spent the week talking about allowances and talking about financial responsibility and allowing your children to fail and all the things that are in the package of training financial responsibility. We're going to continue that talk this week on finances.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J. There's so much to talk about when training your kids about money. There's the specifics. There's also the philosophy behind things. What is your rule for your philosophy of life? Do you really trust God? And are you showing that to your kids? Do your kids know how to do that in their own lives? And that comes out on how we teach them how to manage their money.
Absolutely. And one of the great teachers is pain, unfortunately. And it's not huge pain. There's pain in some parts of the world today. The pain of running out of money to buy more toys or candy or silly bands.
Okay.
It might be pain to the little child. And sometimes we've got to get our heads back on a little bit. I just don't want my child to have to. I hate when my child looks so disappointed over not having enough money to get silly bands. I think there's a lesson there for us more than the child.
Because when we're older, I can't believe I'm agonizing because I don't have a brand new year make car.
Absolutely.
Like,
or don't have my flat screen yet, or whatever it is. Some of these things that aren't quite as important are, can I really make it without cable? It's kind of a...
there you go.
Yeah, well, we're all looking at that today.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a reality of teaching our children, wow, what do I really need? And teaching our children to let go. I'll tell you, we created an award 2 years ago called the Daniel Award. And the Daniel Award was because Chip Lafferty's wife had a birthday party for their youngest, Daniel, and they said to Daniel when he was 5, what do you want to do for your birthday party? And because I do a lot of speaking for his company, his parents have talked about his company and single moms, and he said, Mom, I want everybody to bring a birthday present to my birthday party, and we'll give it to Sheridan House for the little children who don't get gifts. And this was a massive, unbelievable SUV full of presents that this little 5-year-old and his mom and dad pulled up with and gave to Sheridan House, which he did again a second year. And I did an article on the Daniel Award for Daniel Lafferty, and other parents did that. And watching these little children get it on the giving, and watching parents be a little somewhat in pain but proud, and watching grandparents be in total disaster pain for this, not getting the lesson that this is teaching. It really, 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 really is a truth. It's more blessed to give than receive.
Mm-hmm.
And this money thing of hold it tight or let it go, or hold it tight or let it go, or save it, or what do I do with it, or I want that. And it's not just the money. There's nothing intrinsically valuable about a piece of paper that has a president's face on it, or little pieces of metal that have presidents' faces on it. It's the tool to get these things that I think I have to have. You don't have to have it. And it could cause the destruction of a marriage or the destruction of a business. Or how many times do we read in the paper of somebody who has extorted money from their business or their client or whatever it is because they had to have and they couldn't not have it? Or because I can, I'll never forget the man calling me after a boat show in Miami and saying, I want to donate a boat to a Sheridan House. And I said, well, how old is it? And he says, it's not even off the floor of the Miami Convention Center.
Wow.
And I said, what happened? And he said, well, I went down the convention center with my son and we're walking around. It's a very well-to-do man. And he said, I bought a boat. And my son and I just bought a boat. And I said, well, wow. And you didn't even get home to try it. And he says, I got home. I don't even want the boat. And I said, can't you turn it back in? He said, probably. I don't know what the ramifications. I'm just going to give it to Sheridan House. And I said, I got to ask. And I knew I was going to hear this. And I finally heard it from somebody. Why'd you buy the boat? And he said, I think I bought the boat because I can.
Wow.
And it was a great lesson for him. He's gotten very different and very involved at Sheridan House in other areas now. We spent a whole week, and we're spending a whole nother week now on teaching my children, handle your money or it will always handle you.
Mm-hmm.
For me, coming to Christ was such a challenge, not the coming to Christ part, but sitting in church, and for 3 years, I sat in a church that never talked about giving or tithing, ever.
Wow.
It was not part of their what they wanted to do because it was they didn't want to scare people like me off.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I got into a church that was just richly teaching, and one of the things they hit was giving, and it offended me at first. He's messing with my money. And I was already married.
Rose, already a Christian.
Oh, yeah, I was already a Christian. And Rosemary's saying, well, why does this offend you? Well, I don't know that he should be messing with my money. She says, it's in the Bible, Bob. And then I did the old thing. Well, yeah, but is it in the New Testament? I think that's an Old Testament principle. It was awesome. And she said, well, let's read some things in the New Testament, realizing that tithing was a bare-bones religious minimum in the mm-hmm. Old Testament.
Yep.
In the New Testament, he owns it all.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the starting place. And then thinking, well, that's Pollyanna I'm talking to here, Rosemary, who's all in and going fishing with a friend. And the friend said to me, as we're in his bass boat, and he said to me, he was the praise and worship leader at our church, Joe Helms. And I said to Joe, I got to ask you a question, man. Talk to me about tithing. And he said, well, what do you want to know? And I said, well, is it 10% of what? The gross or the net? And he gave this nice little pat religious answer. Well, you know, who do you trust first? And that's who you give to first. The government, then you give them first. And you get. And I thought, okay, this is obnoxious. Okay, you're telling me I'm supposed to give 10% of the gross that God's given to me. And he said, oh, absolutely. And he said, then I even factor in medical when I make that decision.
Wow.
He said, but you're missing the whole thing here. And then he said it. Tithing is the beginning of giving. And it's the beginning of giving up of all of you. I was furious. I wanted out of his bass boat. And then I said, you know, it's on the budget every year, how much you make. How do you afford to do that? And he said, well, you know, I got to tell you, I must be doing okay. We're in my bass boat, not yours. And
wow.
So as I do that, and we've added 1% a year, he said, since we started. And I remember going home in agony and tithing, and as I'm tithing it, the pain of that, and I'm thinking that I'm going to get a big inheritance because I've got to deal with God, and it didn't work. I didn't get the inheritance, and the car air conditioning broke, and I had to work through that, but still trusting God. And then the next year, adding 0.5% and committing to God to add 0.5%, and watching God just kind of work it out. Did I ever get the big? No. But watching God work it out in my life, but the agony I went through, I want to teach my children a stewardship plan, and that includes let go. God's got you covered.
Mm. And I think we're learning a lot about that, especially with how things are in the country today. We're learning how really to trust in God, how to save a little bit more, pay things off. Lessons we should have learned when we were kids, and had we learned them when we were kids, it wouldn't hurt so much. And I think sometimes as adults, honestly, we think, well, if this is hurting me, then, you know, God must have something great for me. But we have to think, well, maybe these are just lessons we have to learn now because God's going to reward us for going through this pain, but because we should have learned this when we were kids. And now it's our responsibility to raise the next generation. You know what? I don't want you to hurt so bad.
Because yeah.
This is not about give and take with God.
Yeah.
This is about being a good steward of what God has entrusted to you. So I'm going to teach you in such a way so that you're not having to go through the pain of all these new lessons when you're older, but you can go through it when you're younger.
They're more painful and more expensive when we're older. You know, I think that many got into their 20s and 30s, and the thought of putting money away or paying down debt, the key interferer there was mañana. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do it. I'm just not going to do it today because I want that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want that for my children. We kind of say, you know, I don't want my children to miss what I missed, so I let them do this and let them have that. What we really should be saying is I don't want my children to miss the training I didn't get. Let's add a word there. I don't want them to miss the training. I want them to be leaders. Leaders can handle their money. And if leaders can't handle their money, then you know what? They're led by money and the desire for money and more money and pay off their debt. I want to put a plan in place. We talked last week about allowance. I think that's the beginning of a training process of giving them that privilege in that. And yes, and somebody emailed me, question in the email was, well, what do you do about grandparents in this process? Grandparents are the bonus check. I don't know what you do about grandparents.
Yeah.
I had to stop my dad from overindulging, and I think it was from guilt in the way he handled us. And I finally said, you should have no guilt with the way you handled us. You taught me how to handle money. Even though money was his God, and he put it on the altar in the process, he taught me how to go to that altar. It's not my God, but I know how to handle money because of him. But I think grandparents is not going to work. I think you can help grandparents by saying, please do not interfere here and buy that thing for them just because it causes you pain when you're on vacation with us and want them to have 10,000 million silly bands all up their arm and around their neck and down their fingers. Don't do that. Let's get a little bit different plan, and let's practice the pain. We talked last week about the four E's, and the four E's are example and do I save? How do I get to go on vacation? And letting my children see that I do save for vacation. I do put money away for vacation, for our whole vacation, as you're putting money away. And you know, the fourth E we never talked about. The fourth E is encouragement. Example, exposure, experience, and encouragement. Set the example. Expose them then to the handling of money, how much you want or don't want them to be involved in your own budget. But I don't know how else they're going to learn how to handle a budget. I think the farmer let them see how to run the farm because he was going to turn it over to them. I think the general store owner let them see how to handle the general store. My friend who owns Padrino's Restaurants lets his kids get involved in the business early on for the handling of Padrino's. Yeah, getting to see how to do it. I want to do that with them. But on top of that, then I want them to experience the pain, but then I want to encourage them. And every now and then I want to say, hey, how much have you put away in your envelope for vacation? And it may just be February for June, and have them say, well, you know, I've got $16 in there. That's awesome. That's unbelievable. And I know they may be afraid when I come back 2 weeks later and it's still 16 or it's 14 because that's okay. Man, this is your money. Mm-hmm. That's okay. It's your money. You're not doing this for me. Get that. You're not doing this for me. You're doing this for you. But I'm still going to applaud.
Do you ever, though, throw in your little opinion there, here and there? You know, if it were me, I wouldn't spend my money on that.
I'm careful about that because I don't want to nag. It's very self-punishing. When we get to June 15th, it was very self-punishing and painful. So I want to be very careful. What I'm going to go low key on is when they've taken out for whatever. What I want to go high key on is you got something in there. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, Tori, let me say something to you. I've got friends who are adults who have no savings whatsoever. None. Really, Dad? Yeah. They're always in trouble financially. I've got one family member. Never has any backup. You know how mom has backup for things? It's when we run out of mustard, there's backup mustard in the pantry. Mm-hmm. That's the same principle with savings. Backup for that rainy day when something happens. So yeah, I want to low key the nagging and the criticism, but I want to just absolutely be cheering for when they have backup and saving for that matching fund day. They actually called it matching funds on December 1st or June 15th. December 1st, so they have money and they have to spend their own money to buy Christmas presents for the immediate family. Huge. Wow. The presents are a lot less, but huge. Yeah, my dad brought me in front of him once and said, I'm going to give you a great Christmas gift this year. And I think I was about 10 or 12. I'm going to let you buy all the gifts yourself. Wow. That you buy. I know you're saving, and I'm gonna help with that. I'm gonna match a little. And you know, that's the first Christmas I actually remember what I bought my mom. Christmases prior, we would go shopping and I would say, I want to buy that, and my dad would buy that, you know, this porcelain chess set, because they played chess every night before they went to bed, my mom and dad. That was the year I bought her those obnoxious red stocking slippers that were knit with this little fake leather bottom and naugahyde bottom and little beads on the top that I paid $4.94, and I was so proud. And when we got to go for the tree, I went for her gift first and handed it to her because I remember that day.
Yeah.
So there's a great privilege in teaching them. It's more blessed to give than receive.
And maybe if you can't afford the incentives and stuff, there are different ways that you can allow your kids to manage with budgets. I know for Christmas, thinking of my four-step kids, what we do is we swap names. We pick a name out of a hat.
Cool.
And nobody knows what anybody else has.
Cool.
But then you're given, I think we give them a certain amount and we have to go to the store. And somehow they have to communicate with me or my husband who they have so we can plan out these shopping trips. And it's hilarious. It's like a mystery shop where we go around and it's kind of like a game.
On a budget.
Yeah, but they're on a budget.
They have a specific amount of money.
Now, the first year, and I'm a lot more strict with that. I said, no. I gave you $25, but that's $24.99, and that means that you have to pay tax. It's going to go over. I was real strict, and my husband, you know, that's okay. You got the gift. I'll pay for the taxes and all that.
Well, at some point, you guys come to the middle on that. I'm not saying which is right. You just come to the middle, because the whole prospect here was not to get Christmas gifts. It was to train them up in the way they should go and give them some real-world experiences. But you made a statement. Everybody can't afford to match. Maybe you can't afford to match 100%. So now you're teaching percentages. Whatever you save, I will match 50%.
Yeah.
So if you've saved $10, what's 50%? Well, I don't know. Well, let's think about that. 50% is a half. So what is that? that, because you're also teaching them tax percentages too,
yeah,
and how to calculate that. Figure out something, some system to incentive them at certain points of time where you're going to match it. It's very important.
It's that important that this week we're spending another week talking about finances, how to train your child in the area of finances. So you're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. And if you want more on this topic and raising kids, you can learn more online at shfm.org. That's shfm.org. You can also hear this broadcast again and sign up for the daily parenting blog online at parentingtoday.org. That's parentingtoday.org.